Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord amongst family. I don't feel like a stranger yet. I feel like a son of the house. I'm quite comfortable. It's okay. And I want to speak to us as only the Lord himself laid these notes in front of me. Nothing that will come forth from my mouth will be fabricated from intellect, only that which the Lord dropped in my spirit. And I trust that we will all take a nugget or something from this message and ask God to work with you and with me. And I trust that the word will come forth in its purest form this morning. Hallelujah. We're still speaking about faithfulness. And I had about 5 different titles for this word. So just now, when I got into the house here, the last one popped up. It's called The House of a Faithful Father. The House of a Faithful Father. Let me start by saying to us this morning, family, the testimony of God and his faithfulness is sitting in these pews this morning. Each and every one of us can come and line up here and speak about the faithfulness of the Father. You can just pause in your thinking of one incident, just one incident in your life that was critical, that was bad, that really needed the faithfulness of God. Just think, one, just one. And then I know all of us can stand here and testify about the faithfulness of God. Our stories might be different. The intensity of our stories might be different. The dimensions of what we will share might be different. However, all those stories will be linked with this one thing. It was the faithfulness of God that brought us through. And today I was led by the Spirit of the Lord this week to prosecute and direct and dissect and analyze this matter. The matter of the Father's unfailing, relentless, unending faithfulness towards us. If you are 53 like I was on Tuesday, or was it Thursday? See, I don't even know. Then I have many stories to tell. I believe Auntie Yvette's got more stories than me. And so does Auntie Elaine, and so does all the people in this place. You have stories to tell about the faithfulness of God. And so when we go through this case study, it's with this in mind that God wants to once again highlight to each and every one of us how faithful he really is. The measure thereof is indescribable. And so let's do our reading this morning. Luke in 2 Samuel chapter 4 verse 4. And then after that we'll go to chapter 9. 2 Samuel 4 verse 4, family, says, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Chapter 9. And we're going to read verse 1 to 13. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. Then the king said, Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness of the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Mercher. Mercher means sold. The son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Mercher, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David. He fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwell in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Amen. We're going to speak about Mephibosheth, and we're going to speak about Lodabar. And we're going to see what God has done in his faithfulness with regards to this young man. And we're going to extract from what we've just read some truths and some principles from the place called Lodabar and from the character of Mephibosheth. And we will then have a clearer understanding of how faithful the Father really is. So in this case study, it will bring us to a deeper sense of appreciation for our own migration, for our own movement, that because the Father was really faithful to us. And just in case you or me, just in case you or I, we've forgotten about how faithful God really is, hopefully this message will remind us to pause, because God has really been faithful. And he wants to bring to the forefront of our minds that his faithfulness is limitless. So when I look at the word Lodabar, you have to write L-O, there's the teacher coming forward, hyphen, Dabar. Lo means no. Dabar means word. In Lodabar, there's no word. Also, Lodabar means a low place. It also means no communication. We look at the life of a young boy, 5 years old, minding his own business in his father's courts, playing in the sand maybe, doing things that five-year-old boys does, playing cars with bricks. Not the ones we buy by the crazy store now, with the bricks we used to play, doing what five-year-old boys does. And he was not involved mentally, emotionally, about the things that happened in the land. But now he finds himself 5 years old. I have a grandfather who died in a war in Jezreel. I have a father who died in a war in Jezreel. And suddenly, my whole world is turned upside down. I was minding my own business. I was playing by myself. I did my own thing here in this house. And suddenly, I'm uprooted by Ziba. And she carries me in her arm, and she starts running. So when I thought of this, I don't know about you, but I love National Geographic. And this happens when male lions takes over a pride. They kill all the cubs of the existing females then so that they can start all over their new lineage. And I felt that this is the case with Mephibosheth. remove him to save his life. And some female lions does that. They go and hide their cubs. And so she takes this boy and she starts running. But in the process of all her haste, she drops the boy. And he fell in such a way that both his legs became lame. And she runs to a place called Lodabar. Now you must understand, she runs to a place where God don't speak. She runs to a place where the word of God is not echoed in the land. She runs to a place, Lodabar, geographically, is characterized by this one thing. You are in hiding. He runs to go and hide somewhere. Hide from being killed by David, because David is taking over the kingdom. Runs to a place where he can find himself under a covering that no one must see me. So what do I realize when I look at Mephibosheth's life? Not only is he hiding, but he's lost. Because he's lost his father. He's lost his grandfather. He's lost all the inheritance that was supposed to be his at that time. And he's running to a place to hide away from each and every face that knows him. And he calls that, this is my method of saving myself. And we realize that all the resources that once upon a time was due to him is lost to him now. All the inheritance that once was his is no longer his. He lost family. He lost fathering. He lost the joy of being loved by a dad and raised by a dad. Being carried on the shoulders. Being held in the arms. Being played with. Being laughed at. He lost all those joys. Because these joys of being there is eternal. But this child, Mephibosheth, lost all of that. And then he gets into a place where he becomes unskilled. Why do I say he's unskilled? Because when in his state, there was never time for train a child in the ways that he should go, and he will never depart from it. He lost that part. He becomes uneducated because in his unimportance, he never felt that education would be important for his life. He becomes part of a community that is called the outcast of society. The unimportant people lives in Lodabar. The people who knows the people that lives in Lodabar, they scorn at them. When they walk past people who are from Lodabar, they don't even greet. They make as if they don't even exist. Where do I find this from? This is what the Holy Spirit told me. You look at what happened to Mephibosheth, then you realize the whole community is like this. People don't even acknowledge their existence. So Mephibosheth ran to a place that we would deem a forgotten place. And who lives there? A forgotten people lives there. Not mentioned much in the Bible. The other time then they mentioned Lodabar was in 2 Samuel 17 verse 27. Just mentioned the name, but nothing of the community. Because nothing powerful, nothing extraordinary, nothing sound in its essence came forth from Lodabar. And so he gets himself in Lodabar and he lives on handouts and the kindness of others. He's not a dependent and independent person. Someone else has to take care of him because he can't take care of himself. And when you realize what Lodabar represents, family, it represents a deep, deep sense of hopelessness. Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth lives there from the age of 5. And I can't remember or recall how old is he when David took him away from that situation. But he lived most of his good years in Lodabar. Fatherless. Voiceless. The only person he knows is a nurse called Ziba. He went from being the son of a king, the grandson of a king, to an orphan. And in his orphan status, he finds himself hiding in Lodabar. So he's lost all his innocence and he's lost all his greatness. One event. What is so sad about this of Mephibosheth is this family. It was never his fault. He did nothing wrong. And how many times when we face our troubles, you say to God, I did nothing wrong. This test that you are putting here in front of me, what have I done to deserve this one? And so you speak like Mephibosheth, and I speak like Mephibosheth, saying, but how come? How come this has happened? I was five, I knew nothing, but look at my life right now. I am nothing because of this incident. And the main issue is it was never his fault. All these setbacks was nothing of his doing. To you and I, Lodabar represents spiritually the thorn in my flesh, the thorn in your flesh, the one thing in your life that keeps on tripping you up. Lodabar, it represents to you and I that addiction to cake. That addiction that always causes you to crave for things that does not comply to holiness. It represents prison bars because it keeps you captive, trapped in Lodabar. It represents your fears and your pains because it adds to the stresses of your discomfort. Lodabar represents to your uncertainty. There's nothing solid underneath you. There's the hope that today someone will bring something to me. There's a hope that someone will feed Mephibosheth. There's a hope that someone will come and wipe his face. There's a hope that someone will put him under a tree in the shade. But you realize that Mephibosheth not once cried out unto the Lord, because Lodabar can become your comfortable hiding place. Not once did he open his mouth and say, Jesus, God, Father God, can you release me from this situation? No strength in his voice, because Lodabar has become his comfortable hiding place. Not once did he say, Lord, I need help. I want to say to you and I, Lodabar people comes to church. Lodabar people are in church right now. Not this church only, all the churches. Some Lodabar people, they're in your office. They're at work. Some of them, they live next to you. Some of them, you meet them at the shopping center. But Lodabar people looks normal, but they themselves know they are in hiding. They're in hiding from a king who is supposed to kill them. So I want to say to you, because you are afraid, Mephibosheth, you will never exit Lodabar. You are immune to the surroundings in Lodabar, and it's become your comfortable zone. And because you are afraid, you will never ask for help. Is it afraid or is it pride? In Mephibosheth's situation, it's definitely fear kept him in Lodabar. And he will not accept, and then he comes to a place of accepting my Lodabar in my life. The fear factor that keeps us in Lodabar is the fear of being killed, the fear of losing out, the fear of losing our lives in the process. You and I have to today speak to our Lodabar. Those entrapments, those grave clothes that has wrapped itself around us and say, only this is your portion. Don't go further than that. We have to cut those ties from Lodabar today and move to our truest potential. Mephibosheth family says this of himself. He says, when he assesses his life, he makes this summation. He says, I am nothing. Look at me. I'm stuck here. I don't know, was there wheelchairs in their days, but he's stuck in a seat, which speaks of you going nowhere. There's no forward movement. There's no pushing of the purposes of the Lord. There's no dealings of greatness to enhance and advance God's work. You're stuck in this place. That is how he realizes his life is. And then he says, I come from nothing. Ziba Noivet maybe told him that his father was, and his grandfather, come from royalty. And so all he knows is, I come from nothing, I am nothing. And I don't know the truth about my inheritance. I don't know the truth about my life before Lodabar. There was a life before Lodabar. And he only knows Lodabar, that information. He says, I will never amount to nothing. Look at me. I'm crippled. I'm useless. Look at me. I can't function. I'm totally dependent on these people around me. My whole existence is that of begging. Help me, please. He comes to the final realization that I am a dead dog. Now, when you've reached that level, you have reached a place where you have lost all hope. And I pray and I trust that we are not there yet. Now, all the people who are drive vehicles, cars, big ones and small ones, trucks on the road, when a dog was knocked and the carcass is lying in the road, some animal lover might decide to stop on the side of the road and remove that carcass and put it on the side of the road. However, most of us are in a hurry, and we will just continue driving over this piece of carcass until the nothing of that thing can be seen. Some truck went over it again and took some of its pieces with it. And then a big car came and took a little bit of a piece. And a smaller car came and took a little bit. Until by the end of the day, there's just a red spot that something died there. This is what Mephibosheth says of his life. I have been crushed into many pieces, and there's nothing left of me. I am worthless. I'm a dead dog. Dead dogs don't get any attention. We disregard dead dogs. It's a tragedy when you look at the life of Mephibosheth, that his life came to this end. But now I want to encourage you. When a faithful father steps onto the scene, he takes the Mephibosheth in you and introduces you to his new house, to his new home. And he makes a covenant with you. And he makes promises to you. And he says, like Randolph says, when he introduces new people to the house, every resource that we have is yours. What a father. And he introduces him to a new family. And he tells him, this family, we are all engrafted in Jesus. We have been adopted into the family, all of us. And this is your turn. And so a faithful father will introduce you to his people. Ruth says, your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you go, I will go. You understand, family? And that is what a faithful father restores. He gives us a new life, a life of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And he showers us with his faithfulness, something that Mephibosheth for many years never felt or experienced, became suddenly a breath of fresh air, a refreshing waterfall to his life. And this is your portion as well. And then he comes, this faithful father, and he sets you in the family. And he takes you away from the clutches of Lodabar. He takes off the rags and the clots and the grave clothes that held you captive for so many years. And he rebuilds and restores and reforms and redeems all that once was yours. This is the house of a faithful father. And he upgrades your life. And he changes the landscape of what you've been seeing for many years. And he makes you whole. And the broken parts of you come together. And he says to you, there is a balm in Gilead. And he tells you to, from this day onwards, walk in the newness of a new life. And he restores your dignity. A faithful father does this. So then the faithful father says, now that you have exited Lodabar, I want you to live in your sonship. Live in your kingship. Because when I redeem you today, I take all the underprivileged positions that you dealt with and I restore to you privilege. Lodabar is not our home. Tell someone, Lodabar is not our home. Sonship brought us into the palace. Sonship brought us into the palace. A faithful father found us and brought us into the palace. And now that I'm in the palace, track with me, family. Now that I'm in the palace, my biggest obstacle is my mindset. Because I can be found in David's courts, sitting at his beautiful table with a mentality of Lodabar. So I have to constantly say to myself, I am a son of God. I am free from the snare of the fowler. I have been redeemed from the clutches of hell, brought to a table where a father wants to now make me see a brand new day. And it is important that when you're now in the courts of a king who wants to show you his faithfulness, his kindness, take away the mindset of Lodabar and accept the provision of a faithful father. Accept it. Cast away everything that holds you captive that was once upon a time your Lodabar. We don't need a flight ticket to some strange country to be freed from our Lodabar. All you need is a faithful father that can do everything that you have need of. We won't be begging in our father's palace. We don't sit with the mentality of, can I, may I, should I? Will you please give me? When David restored Mephibosheth, he brought him into equality. He brought him to a place where begging is not the order of the day. Asking for alms is not the order of the day. And so when we come to the table, many previous messages said his feet was covered and you could only see his body. And so the covering covered his feet. I want to go a little bit further. When David restored Mephibosheth, he covered all of him from head to toe. That everything of Mephibosheth was covered in that restoration. And now the father comes and he says, I've taken you from Lodabar where there's no word. I bring you to a place where there's the flourishing, prophetic, apostolic, powerful, spirit-filled word of the Lord. Enjoy, my son. And I want to restore to you from orphan status to a kingship and a sonship status where your royalty is undisputable. You come from royalty. You are royalty. Let your royalty speak about your father's faithfulness. Let your royalty be seen. Let your royalty burst forth in your serving and in your sonship. Let your royalty show that you are ruler. For in the father's faithful house, in the faithful house of a father, you are royalty. Because we can sit in a faithful father's house like orphans. If Lodabar consistently knocks at us. Today is our day of freedom from what Lodabar used to do to us. I want to say to us, family, don't ever minimize our faithful father's faithfulness and reduce it to houses and cars and money. Those are too basic. It's too basic. Don't ever minimize the faithfulness of a father to these things called cars and money and houses. When you consider what God has done for Mephibosheth, you realize faithfulness extends much further than providing this, that, and the other. Your legacy has been restored. Your destiny has been restored. Your brokenness has been healed. Your failures has now turned into pass. The weight, the weightiness of a faithful father's love for you and I is revealed on the cross of Calvary. But it's also revealed in our lives. When I look at my, that's why when I started, I said, if you look at your life, you can write a book about the faithfulness of your God towards you. And you can write a different book. And I can write a different book. But all will speak of how faithful the Father really is. I want to say to us, Gate Durban Central, sons of Randolph and Renee, you've come to the house of a faithful father. He's the epitome of faithfulness. And now that you sit in the house of a faithful father, let not Lodabar make you behave like you're still an orphan. You are a son of a faithful father. You are an heir, a joint heir of a faithful father's inheritance. Let not Lodabar visit your mind and visit your heart week after week, month after month, and tell you you do not qualify. You are not worthy of being a son of a faithful father. I want us to see ourselves from the vantage point of sons and no more orphans. You see, family, our adoption, Ephesians 1 verse 5 says we've been adopted into the family. Our adoption is an eternal one. And our adoption, while it was free of charge, there was a price to pay on Golgotha. But our adoption is also laced with the precious blood of Jesus. But this adoption gave us rights and privileges, not as orphans, but as sons. Our Father is a faithful Father who wants to raise faithful sons, who should walk as faithful sons, who should be faithful sons. And I want to say to us this morning, always remember that in Lodabar, there's no father, there's caregivers. You're not in the house of a caregiver. You are in the house of a faithful father. Caregivers sees to my daily needs. Give me food. Give me water. Put me there. Move me here. Basic needs. Natural basic needs. Momentarily, I am comfortable. Caregivers. Auntie Corrine can tell you about the role of a caregiver. But when you have stepped out of Lodabar and you've now come into the house of a very faithful father, don't expect caregiving. Caregiving is temporal. But the words that issues from a faithful father will take you from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and it will be applied from generation to generation. You adults, sitting here this morning have given the generations that's following behind you a gift much better than that caregivers gives. You've given your sons and your daughters the grace to thrive in life. I want to say to us, when our sonship identity, like Mephibosheth's, has been compromised, we lose our placement and we lose our rulership. And we become less than what we really are. And a displaced son like Mephibosheth will never taste and see the impartation and the faithfulness of a loving father. A displaced son will never know that level. Lodabar has a crippling effect on even a son. On even a son. So it's important for us to break free from Lodabar. In Lodabar, there's maybe faithful people, but in their faithfulness, they are removed from the grand scheme of God's doings, even in Lodabar. You might find faithful people in Lodabar, however, their faithfulness is misdirected. It does not line up with the purposes and plans of our King. It's only family. It's only in returning, journeying from Lodabar to David's courts, to the house of a faithful father, where you will be able to hear the voice of God again, where you will be able to hear the prophetic, apostolic, powerful, spirit-filled thrust of God's word again. And you will find yourself after you've exited and left Lodabar. But we can leave Lodabar and go live in another place and still find ourselves wrapped in Lodabar. It's leaving Lodabar to the house of a faithful father that brings release. Not leaving Lodabar to go live 4 kilometers away from it and think you are free. It's leaving Lodabar towards the house of a faithful father that will bring your ultimate release. In the house of a faithful father, sons are at rest. Sons flourish. Sons thrive. Sons become like the father of that house. If I must testify to all of you who don't know me, before the house of a faithful father, I could not speak. Before I came to the house of a faithful father, I was shy. Before I came to the house of a faithful father, I was an introvert. I kept to myself. Maybe my Lodabar kept me in hiding. Until I stepped into the house of a very faithful father, and he unraveled and took off the clothes that kept me in my own Lodabar. Standing here as nothing but the doings of a faithful father in my life. Luke, can we find Psalm 143 verse 1? Psalm 143 verse 1 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness." God deals with us from the vantage point of his faithfulness towards us. Judgment has been taken away. Psalm 119, verse 90. 119, verse 90. 90. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. And to end, your faithfulness and the faithfulness of a father over you will translate in all your grandsons and in all your children. And the faithfulness of Father God will never allow one of them to miss the mark. Engrafted in their DNA is the faithfulness of God. Transgenerationally, your children will know forever the faithfulness of a faithful father. Our kids, as long as they tap into this reservoir called faithfulness of a faithful father, they won't go wrong. Don't fear for the future of your children. Don't fear. As long as they link themselves, join themselves to the faithful father whose faithfulness is unending, they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. Whether they live with you or whether they're in China, they're going to be okay. Can't you, Anne? They're going to be okay. Lamentations. Luke, Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. In these two scriptures, I read the word mercies, compassion. They are new and great. And when you put all of that in the bowl, it's not muffins that's going to come out. It's the faithfulness of God that's going to come out. And so when you look at faithfulness, you realize the mercies of God over your life. When you look at faithfulness, you know that God has been compassionate and kind towards us. You know that he's brought us to a new place, and that great is the measure of that new place, of that newness that he wants to bring to us. Luke, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8 says, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8 says, for we do not know what you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we burned beyond measure, above strength. I don't think that's the right scripture. 18, Luke. But as God is faithful, don't read further. But as God is faithful. What does this mean? God is faithful. Let me explain to you. It means God is faithful. You don't need Hebrew, Greek. You don't need any other explanation. When it says God is faithful, it means God is faithful. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in is God. 22. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. When you come to the house of a faithful father, he establishes you. He anoints you. He seals you with his Holy Spirit. He gives you his Holy Spirit. And at the end, he says, I guarantee you, nothing of what I give you will fail. This is the love of a faithful father. Guarantee is a business term, Andy. Guarantee is a business term. It means I pledge. It means a deposit. It means earnest money. It means an installment until full payment is made. I guarantee you, says the faithful father, until the end of time and the payment is in full, I got you, says a faithful father. And now Mephibosheth finds him in David's house. David's house represents the house of God. David's house represents a house of largesse. You know that word, eh? Largesse. And isn't it ironic that in David's house, where Mephibosheth is now staying, David is the man that pens down these words in Psalm 122, verse 1. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. David knows something about the house of a faithful father. And that's why he can write the scripture. I was glad. And we minimize this I was glad to, oh, today I don't feel like going to church. Today I'm not well. I don't want to go to church. It's got nothing to do with coming. It's got to do with the house. When he said, let us go into the house, that's the issue. So I put everything of myself aside because I know when I go to the house of a faithful father, I will be refreshed. And so he amplifies the idea of the house is the place of refreshment. Sluggish coming, that's not the issue for David. He says, I want to tell you about the house of a faithful father. David says in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And we thought, this means I must stay saved for the rest of my life. Yes. But he wants to amplify that your staying saved, and staying born again, and staying on the path of righteousness, it's got nothing to do with the building. It's got to do with a faithful father and his house. And so, I hope that today you understand that you and I need to appreciate the house of a faithful father, because we could have been stuck in Lodabar still. Or we could have been at a different location where there's no faithful father. But it's a house. You and I should have a great deal of appreciation for the house of a faithful father, where we have a spiritual father who's linked to a heavenly father, and that links all of us and points us to that heavenly father. I did say earlier on, the tablecloth did not only cover his feet. A faithful father covered his whole life. And I say to each and every one of us, go into yourself and say to yourself, come away from Lodabar. Come out of Lodabar. Rid yourself from that sunken place. Rid yourself from all the trappings of Lodabar. And as we sit and our faces differ, my Lodabar has got a different name to your Lodabar. My stuff that I must unwrap myself from, it's maybe different to yours, Keller. But all of us run into the house of a faithful father. And when you sit at his table, don't sit like an orphan. Don't sit like you have not been redeemed. Don't sit in a faithful father's house in close proximity and not know the measure of this faithfulness. When you sit here and he sits across from you, look into the eyes of a faithful father and see the depth of his love for you. Glean from him face to face. And when you eat from his table, know that it is laced with the grace of God. My conclusion is, cut all ties with Lodabar. Lodabar is a spiritual dimension that says, live in hiding, live in fear, worry, be stressed out, be concerned, have no joy in your life. That's Lodabar. But when we have migrated from Lodabar's clutches and have come into the house of a faithful father, then I say to you, be a son of a faithful father. Become a faithful son of a faithful father who understands the faithfulness of a heavenly father. Amen. Let's all stand in the presence of the Lord. Can the worship team please come? Bless the Lord. Just lift a hand to the Lord. Especially when you know God said something to you personally. And just throw a hand up. A faithful father's house is your destiny and your safe place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just want to sing this song as an affirmation of this word this morning. In my Father's house, many mansions, I am one.
I am one of them.
So are you. In my Father's house,
in my Father's house,
many mansions, I am one of them. So are you. Sing with conviction. In my Father's house, many mansions, I am one of them. So are you. So are you. In my Father's house, are many mansions. I am one of them. So are you. All the ladies, all the sisters say,
in my Father's house,
are many.
I am one of them, and so are you.
Oh,
a many mansion.
I am
one of them, and so are you.
Lift a hand to the heavens, say, in my Father's house, many mansions, I am one of them. So are you. In my Father's house, many mansions, I am one of them. So are you. One more time. In my Father's house,
are
many mansions. I am one of them. So are you. In my Father's house, are many mansions. I am one of them. So are you. I am one. I am one of them. So are you. I am one. I am one of them. So are you. I need to see this in the house this morning. Lift your hands to Jesus. Heavenly Father, your word is truth. Your word is yes and amen. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Will never return void. Will accomplish the thing wherefore it was sent to do. God, we are now mobile. Hallelujah. We are at the table of our Father. He is a faithful Father. We will be faithful sons that call upon the name of a faithful God. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. I am one of them, and so are you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Say, I am one of them, so are you. In my Father's house, many mansions. I am
one of them.
So are you. So are you. I pray that the frequency of this word will operate on our spirits, our minds, bring us to a new place in Christ Jesus. I pray that this song will be your anthem for the next week. And every time when Lodabar comes up against you, you start singing, in my Father's house, many mansions. Every time. I am one of them. So are you. In my Father's house, many mansions. I am one of them. So are you. There's not one orphan in this house. There's no one lame in the spirit in this house. We belong to a faithful Father. We are sons, faithful sons. We always call on the name of a faithful God. Hallelujah. Just stand and know. Just stand and know, church. Know. God, we adore you. We adore you, Father. Job said, even if he slays me, yet will I serve him. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You see, Job knew a faithful Father. Go read his restoration. And then you know, God redeems, restores, and brings you back doubly blessed. God knew that, Job knew that faithful Father. We bask in the presence of a faithful Father. We did not leave Lodabar to go live down the street, still wrapped with prison bars around us. God, we adore you. In my Father's house, say, in my Father's house, many mansions. I am one of them, so are you. In my Father's house, many mansions. I am one of them, so are you. Give Jesus a clap offering. Give the Father praise. Amen, family. I pray that song becomes your solidness. in the weeks, in the months, and in the years to come. Your solidness in your faithful Father's house. There are many mansions, and you are one of them. Amen.